chapter 11. We've been studying about teach us to pray. And here in verse 1, it says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So this disciple must have heard something about Jesus when he was praying. Apparently, Jesus' prayers were different. And how many know that Jesus got an answer to every prayer? His prayers were effective and powerful. And so this disciple said, "Teach us to pray." And not only did they get the teaching that the Lord did, but they got to see it in action. Amen? And we can learn a lot by what we see and what we hear. And it's important that God's people to pray. And we touched on the first night, you know, that God hears you when you pray. Isn't that encouraging? Say, God hears me. And he has answers for you. And prayer is how we communicate to God. And prayer is about us talking and listening. All right? If we're doing all the talking, then it's not really effective prayer. But God hears us when we pray. And then we also talked about how we need to connect with God in prayer. You know, if you want your prayers to be effective and powerful, you have to make a connection to God. And, you know, you unite with him. We receive with it, from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments. And how we live and how we treat people, that's all part of connecting with God. Amen? But in prayer, you can connect with God. And then third thing we talked about is we can know God and we can pray knowing God's will. God's will is his word. And when you pray God's word, God hears you. And if God hears you, then whatever you ask for, you have because you're praying what he's given us. Amen? And then tonight, we're going to talk about in prayer, we conform to the image of Christ. Amen? You know, Christ is the key to heaven. He said, "I am the door." And if you want to get to the Father, you're not going to get to the Father any other way other than through Jesus Christ. All right? And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. Hallelujah. How many know that our country needs prayer? You know, we've allowed the devil to do things in this country that ought not be. But God's people can pray. And we can make a difference in this world. But God needs some people that know how to get a hold of heaven. Amen? And we need to be able to bring heaven down to where we are. And we can get a hold of God. And our prayers can be powerful and effective. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Well, let's go back up to verse 26. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." How many know? How many has ever had, you've had the opportunity to pray on your heart, you've had the urge to pray, but you didn't know what to pray for, right? You just know that you were supposed to pray, and God needed someone to pray. And so when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit will help you in your weakness. He will help you. And he says, but the Spirit, now some Bibles say itself, but it really should be himself. Because how many know the Holy Spirit's not an it? He's a him. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you hook up with the Holy Spirit in prayer, he's going to pray out God's perfect will for the situation. Amen? And one easy way to hook up with the Spirit in prayer is to pray in tongues. You know, everyone who's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've been supernaturally enabled to pray in tongues. And praying in tongues is something that we should do. Amen? It's a very effective tool, because your mind don't know what you're saying, and neither does the devil. Amen? And he goes on to say in verse 28, and we know, what do we know? That all things work together for good. Say, all things work together for good. How many know that? You're absolutely certain. You're convinced. You're assured. You know that no matter what happens, things are going to work out for your good. You're convinced. Amen? We've got to be convinced of this. He says, and we know. He's making a statement of assurance that all things, how many things? Okay, but he doesn't stop there. That's not the end of the verse, is it? To them that love God. How many love God? Well, he's talking to me. See, when a person loves God, things are going to work out good for them. Even if you suffer, you're going to come out better in the end. Just ask Job. Right? Yeah, Job suffered. Job lost some things, but what happened? He got twice as much in the end than what he lost. Okay? To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How many are called? If you believe you're called, raise your hand. All right? Every one of us is called according to whose purpose? God's purpose. Say, God's got a purpose for me. Say, God made me for a purpose, on purpose. In other words, you are not an accident. You are not an oops. Amen? You came to this earth with a divine purpose in your DNA. And your divine purpose is to please God. And God has an assignment. God has a task. God has a function for every one of us. And he will put you in the body where you fit best, because he made you. He knows how you operate. Okay? So things work out good to people who love God and people who are called according to his purpose. He goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow. Okay, this word, foreknow, it means to know beforehand, to foresee. How many know that God knows the end before the beginning? God knew what you were created to do while you were developing in the womb. Before you were born, God had plans for you. God had a purpose for you. God has a reason for you being here at this time. Okay? So God called you. He foreknew you. He knew you before. Then he says he also did predestinate. This word predestined means to predetermine, to determine before, to know in advance. All right? Your being on this earth at this time is not a surprise to God. God didn't say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? No. He knew beforehand. He had plans established beforehand. Because that's how God thinks. God is a forethinker. You know, he's already got his wedding feast planned. He's got every reservation at the table. He knows who's going to be there. Amen? It's already set up. You were predestined. God determined before. It means to appoint, to decree, and to specify. Then So God called you, he foreknew you, he predestinated you to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. And that's where we want to get to in prayer. In prayer, we want to lose our life so that we can find his life. When you're willing to give up your life, God is willing to give you his life. I like that exchange. Okay? This word conformed means to be jointly formed. All right? When you use the word jointly, you're joining two things together. Right? Okay? God wants us to join together with Christ. Okay? It means to be similar. It means to be fashioned like unto. It means to be in union with or together. It's much closer than association, companionship, or resemblance. It includes completeness. How many know that in Christ you are complete? Nothing else will make you complete in life other than Christ Jesus. In him we live and move and have our being. Okay? And how many know that he's talking about, this is part of prayer. When you pray, you have access to all of heaven's goods because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. What he has, you have. Because we're joint heirs together. Okay? And, you know, Christ is the very image of God. He said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13. So how can we be conformed? How can we be fashioned unto Christ? In prayer, you go to the Father because of your connection and your relationship with Christ. Based on what Christ did, and you have faith in Christ, now you have access to the Father. You have access to all of heaven's goods, all of heaven's blessings, all of heaven's power. All of heaven will back you up because of your connection and your relationship to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Romans 13, and let's look at verse 10. These are part of things that we do to be conformed to Christ. Love works how much ill to his neighbor? None. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if you want to fulfill the law, then you got to walk in love. Just like Jesus did. Right? Okay, let's go on. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Listen, if you've been asleep up to this point, you need to wake up. It is not time to play church. It is not time to pretend. Like, it is time to be about the Father's business. Whatever he's called you to do, whatever he's asked you to do, we need to start doing it. No excuses. Knowing the time that now, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How many know that we only have a down payment of what God wants us to have? A down payment is just a portion of it. It's not the full amount. But when he comes back again, we're going to get the full amount. The time for Jesus coming back is nearer than when it was before. Verse 12. The night is far spent. It's almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. If you've been hanging out in the dark, it's time to cast off the works of darkness. and put on the armor of light. That's in a divine exchange. You exchange darkness for light. It's much easier to get around in the light, by the way. Jesus is the light of the world, right? He said, there's no darkness in me. Okay? So if there's dark areas of our life, guess what? We need the entrance of God's word to come in, because the entrance of his word gives light. If there's an area of darkness, maybe we lack understanding. Maybe we're ineffective in a certain area. Maybe we keep being overcome by the same thing over and over again. That's an area of darkness. You can get rid of the darkness by simply putting on the light. If we came in this room tonight and the lights were all off, would it make us any good to say how bad the darkness is? Can we make the darkness free by saying, darkness, you're so bad? You're so black, darkness. What's the easiest thing to do to make darkness flee? Turn on the light. The moment the light enters the room, what happens to the darkness? It says, I'm out of here, Jack. Right? So we got to turn on the light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly. Walking is always resemblance of how we live. You're a Christian now. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now need to live for Christ. You need to share Christ's attitude. You need to treat people like Christ treats people. How are we supposed to love people? As we love ourselves, how are we going to love ourselves? By receiving the love of God. Where did God shed his love abroad? See, I've got God's love in my heart. So he'll help you love the unlovable. We got to walk honestly as in the day, not rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering or carousing and wantonness, not in strife. Believe me, you don't want to walk in strife. Because with strife comes every evil work. You better stifle strife quickly in your life. You ought to have a zero tolerance for strife. Because strife is the key for the devil to operate in your life. Okay? Now look what he says in verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in prayer, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. We come to God in Christ's name. We live a life that reflects Christ, because now Christ is in our heart. Now we can live that out in our lives. Okay? Because in prayer, we need to be conformed to his image. We need to be like him. We need to talk like him. We need to live like him. We need to walk like him. We need to do works like he did. Instead of the devil messing with you, why don't you mess with the devil? If the devil's messing where you are, who has authority over him? You do. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke, he sent them out two by two. He sent out 70. And they came back and they made this statement. They said, even the devils are subject to us. And he said, you know, don't worry that the devils are subject to you. Just know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say, the devil is subject to me. Is Christ in you? Then the devil is subject to you because Christ is in you. It's not because who you are, but it's because of who's in you and whose you are. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds so easy. It is. You got a choice. You don't have to act like your old self anymore. You have a choice. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Uh-oh. Too many times our prayers are hindered because we've been making more provision for the flesh. What's to make provision to provide? Flesh, are you comfortable? You know, we don't raise our hands because our flesh doesn't like it. There's things that we don't do because our flesh doesn't like it. What will people think? That's a flesh thought. But we need to put on Jesus. How did Jesus do? How did Jesus walk in this earth? How did Jesus mingle with sinners? You know, Jesus hung out with sinners. He ate dinner with them. He spent time at their houses. He walked among them. There were people trying to trip up Jesus. How did he respond? That's how you put on Jesus. Putting on Jesus means you think, you act, and you behave like he did. And the more you know him, the more you're rooted in the word, the more you're going to behave like him. That's what it means to put on Christ. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. How are you changed into the glory of the Lord? What causes you to be changed according to that verse? Let's look at it. But we all, with open face, beholding. What does it mean to behold? It means to look. It means to fix your attention. It means to gaze. It's not a quick glance, but it's a look. Like you're looking. You're beholding. You know? When you go to the zoo, what do? Where's that animal? You're looking for where he is because he's hiding. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. When you're looking to the glory of the Lord, when you're looking to Jesus, what happens? A change takes place. See, if you want God's glory, you got to change where you look. You got to change what you've been looking at. And when you behold Jesus, when you look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, something happens on the inside. You get changed. Your perspective changes. Your talk changes. And your behavior changes. You become what you behold. That's why Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, what did he say to do? Pluck it out. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image. You are changed into what you're looking at. So, a simple change of focus can make great changes in your behavior. Simply changing what you listen to can make great changes because you become the same image that you behold. And notice, when you look to Jesus, you go from glory to glory. You go from good to better. You don't go from good to bad. You go from good to good. You go from glory to glory. From good to good. Good to better. And if you want to keep going from glory to glory, keep looking at Jesus. Well, what if bad things are happening to me? I'm not looking at those things. I'm looking to Jesus. We know the story of when Jesus sent his disciples across the lake. Right? And a storm rose up. And they were all fearful. Why? Because they were looking at the circumstances. Then came Jesus at night walking on the water. And they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost. But Peter, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." Now, Jesus did not respond. He didn't say, "Come, Peter," did he? What did he say? Anybody who was in that boat could have came. But only one responded. I don't know. You figure there was 12 disciples. I don't know if they were all in that boat, but one out of 12. And while Peter was beholding Jesus, what was he doing? He was doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was walking on water. And as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, what was he doing? He was doing the same thing that Jesus was doing, walking on water. But what happened when the moment he took his eyes off Jesus? When he took his eyes off Jesus, he stopped doing what Jesus did. And he started to sink. But as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was conformed to his image. He was doing exactly what he did. I don't know about you, but I think that that's pretty awesome. That we can be changed simply by what we focus on. Amen? That's how we be conformed to the image of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 23. How many know that Christ is different than the world? How many have discovered that Christ is different than how you used to live before Christ? Right? Let's go back up to verse 20, Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ. He's comparing the old man to the new man. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. How many know that you got to hear him and you got to be taught? Say, teaching is important. Preaching proclaims, it brings people in, but teaching helps grow them up. You need teaching. You need good, godly teaching. The truth is in Jesus. Put off concerning the former conversation or your former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt to deceitful lust. How many know that there's some things that we got to put off? In our minds, the way we think, the way we talk. Why? Because they're hindering our prayers. You can't get Jesus' results with the old man actions. Let's go on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Aren't you glad that Jesus gives us new chances? New mercies? Amen. If you made mistakes today, guess what? You got tomorrow. You have new mercies that can show up tomorrow. Okay? Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is the pattern or the model for the new man? Jesus Christ, the living Word. How do you put on the new man? You simply do what he says. Okay? Put away lying. Speak every man the truth. So if you were a person that lied, and by the way, there's no such thing as a white lie. No lie is good. I don't care what color you put on it. Okay? If you were lying before, stop lying and start telling the truth. Okay? That's how we do this. That's how we put on Christ. That's how we are conformed to his image. Okay? I want you to go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I want us to look at this prayer that Jesus prayed. Little did Wanda know that we were going to cover that as she sang about it in that song tonight. Isn't that awesome how God works? John 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus. I want you to take notice right there. When the Bible talks of prayer, it rarely mentions it in silent mode. Prayer is usually audible. It's verbal, unless you're like Hannah, who got so caught up in the Spirit that her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out because she got to that point where she connected with the Spirit and with groans and utters which could not be uttered. But normally when they speak of prayer, it's audible. You've got to use your voice. Jesus, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, okay? So where's he looking? He's looking to heaven while he's praying. Why? Because heaven is where your help comes from. Okay? Jesus is not only, he's showing us how to pray. He's practicing his very principles that he teaches us to do. Pray to the Father in my name. Didn't he tell us to do that? Notice what he said. Father. So he's addressing the Father. He's looking to heaven so that he can be to the same image. Amen? And he's addressing God as Father. He said, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I want you to see the exchange right there. Notice he's relying on God to glorify him so that then he can glorify God. Notice the exchange. Jesus was in harmony. He was in agreement. He was in perfect concert with the Father. Beautiful relationship that he has here. He said, glorify your Son so your Son can glorify you. That's what we need to do. Ask God to help you to help him. Because you can't help him without him helping you. But there's a divine exchange. See, when we go to the Father in prayer, an exchange takes place. Prayer is like going to the trading post. Heaven has what you need. And God is waiting to give it to you. But he won't give it to you unless you ask. God even knows what you need. But he doesn't give you what you need. You still got to ask for it. Why? Because he wants relationship. He loves your voice. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you talk. He wants to talk with you. It's called relationship. You need to develop your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. Beautiful. Okay? As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. How many know that anyone who believes in Jesus has eternal life? Amen? So faith receives eternal life from the Lord. Okay? He recognized that his authority came from the Father. Verse 4, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Are you going to be able to say that when you get to the end of your life? Are you going to be able to say with confidence that you finished the work that God gave you to do? You've got now until you leave this earth to finish his work. And guess what? Moses was a late starter. He didn't get started really till he was 80. Well, I mean, he was born and there was a death threat on his life. Pharaoh said all the male children get killed. God's favor shined on Moses, and when he was born, he smiled at his mama, and his mama said, I ain't killing this boy. And so she put him in a little ark. And he grew up in the palace, in luxury. He had the best school, the best education, the best training. But he didn't understand what his purpose was. He knew that he was a deliverer, but he tried to do it through murder. God wanted to deliver, but he wasn't going to deliver through murder. So God had to send him to another school called Sheep University on the backside of the desert. So for another 40 years, Moses earned his doctorate in shepherdry. Amen? And he earned a PhD in sheep. And he came back to lead God's people like sheep. Okay? And then when he appeared before Pharaoh the second time, when he was in his 80s, now he was doing it God's way. Moses was a criminal his way, but Pharaoh couldn't touch him God's way. Anyway, I don't know why I said that, but someone needed that. Okay? And then notice what he says. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me. Jesus made known God to us. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He demonstrated God's will. Everything he did was God's will. Healing is God's will. Why? Because Jesus did healing. Salvation is God's will. Why? Because Jesus saved. Jesus corrected. Jesus built up. Jesus rescued. Okay? It's your time to glorify God on the earth. And you gotta get God's information. You know what? Some things aren't going to be made known to you only through prayer. Prayer is where you're only going to get some things from God. Yes, you can read the Word. His Word is right there. But there are some things you will not get unless you pray. Unless you have a conversation with God. Where God can speak to you directly. If I was to pick up the Bible, I could not find the school I was supposed to go to in the Word. I had to find that where? In my communication with the Father. See, there are some things that God's not going to show you unless you pray. So we better know how to pray. We better be willing to taught. We better be willing to be taught how to pray if we find that our prayers are ineffective. They're not producing results. They're not getting answers. Nothing's happening. You know, if you prayed 10 times and nothing happens, you might want to change your prayer. Right? Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. In other words, Jesus, his disciples knew that what he had was from God. Okay? For verse 8, for I have given them the words which you gave me. Notice, Jesus gave to us what God gave to him. Okay? What is Jesus doing there? Jesus is praying. We can learn a lot from this prayer that he's praying. And have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. That just means that some people need more prayer than others. Right now, at this particular point, Jesus was praying for those who believe in him. Okay? And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Notice, there again, we see the exchange. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be conformed to his image. He's praying that for us. God wants you to be like him. Why do you think he lived on the earth? You know, we emphasize his birth and his death, but what about his life? What about the 33 and a half years that he walked on this earth? And we have a lot of information about three of those years. How did Jesus walk? How did he do things? That's we need to learn from that. And let's go down to verse 12. And he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. He kept doing the things that pleased the Father before his disciples. Jesus never stopped pleasing the Father. Everything he did, it pleased the Father. So if that was important for Jesus, how much more is it important for us to be pleasing the Father? What is it required to please the Father? Without this, it's impossible to please God. What do you need? We got to live by faith, right? So when you live a life by faith, what does that mean? You live every day trusting God and letting his word govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. You now hide yourself in Christ. As you get in the word gets in you, and guess what? You become more and more like him. Isn't that true? All right? Verse 13, and now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. When his joy is in you, your joy will be full. So who's the source of your joy? So don't let the world get you upset, because the world doesn't give you the joy anyway. So if they didn't give it to you, they certainly can't take it away unless you let them. All right? Verse 15, he prayed that we should not be taken out of the world, but that we should be kept from the evil. And verse 16 means you're not of this world. Say, I'm not of this world. Verse 17, he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Guess what? You're clean by God's word. Verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Say, God sent me. You're here with a message. You're here with an assignment. You're here with a task that God has specifically for you. Okay? And if you want to know what that is and where that is, you got to talk with him. And in your conversations with God, God will show you exactly what that is. Isn't it a good thing to know what you're supposed to do? It relieves all the stress. I don't have to go find myself because I found him. Look at verse 20. Neither pray for I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He also is praying for future believers. Because how many know that God wants a perpetual generational blessing? It's up to every generation to hear from God and to carry out his will. Okay? Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you and I are one. Verse 22, that the glory which you gave me, I have given them. How many believe that God's given you his glory? In other words, he wants to share his glory with those who partner with him. Okay? God, you know, we're seeing Jesus. We're seeing how he talked to the Father. We're seeing how he prayed. This is important because we want to conform to his image. That disciple that said, teach us to pray, he heard Jesus pray. He saw him pray. He saw him when he was conversing with the Father. And he realized that he was missing something. But thank God he knew where to go to get it. And verse 26, and I have declared unto them your name and will declare it. Listen, we declare God's name by what we do and what we say. That the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Once again, we see the exchange. So when we pray, we're supposed to be conformed. We're supposed to pray like Jesus prayed. You can talk with the Father. If you miss the mark and you need to confess, you don't have to confess to a person. You can go directly to him because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our great high priest. So let's stand up. And I want you to take a moment to conform yourself to Christ. Put on his helmet of salvation and begin to think like Jesus. Yeah, the Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he didn't say we couldn't come up there. Amen? You have every right to come to the Father just like Jesus came to the Father. It is through him that you come to the Father and you can get the same results. You can experience the same power. You can do the same things that he did. So let's go before God in prayer. And let's conform to the image of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, this evening, in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise that you called us, you predestined us, you foreknew us, and you set us up to carry out your will on this earth. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have empowered us to live for Christ. You give us strength. You give us wisdom. Every good thing that we have comes from you. And so, Father, tonight, we want to please you in all things. Oh, develop a heart that you want to please God in all things. Please God how you live. Please God how you treat other people. Please God how you respond to things in his house and do things his way in the name of Jesus. We've got a job to do. Jesus left us at this time because he knew that we could handle it. He knew he's got great things in store for you. And so, Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand right now. And, Father, we say to you, not our will be done in our life, but let your will be done. It's your choice whether God's will gets done in your life or not. God gives you the choice. He won't make you do anything. He will call you to do something. He'll tell you to do something, but it's up to you to do it. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we have ears to hear and a heart to understand what your Spirit is saying. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we recognize the voice of our Good Shepherd, and no other voice will we tune into or listen to or respond to in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I feel led to pray for you. Can I pray over you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over my sister Joan, Father. Lord, I give you thanks and praise, Father, that you connected her here. And Lord, I thank you right now, Father, that your blessings, your goodness, your comfort, and your peace will come upon her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, she'll experience the power of your presence. And Lord, I just bless her right now, Father. You are the glory and the lifter of her head. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise, Father, for doing good things in her life. Lord, let her experience your goodness and your favor and your blessing. Lord, just open those doors right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise. Lord, that the work that you began in her, you're faithful to complete until the day of Christ. And Lord, just let your anointing fall on her right now. Lord, and just meet every need that she has according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, this is a divine appointment, Lord, for such a time as this. Lord, and I thank you that she'll experience all that you want to do in her, through her, and to her. Father, strengthen her body. Lord, turn situations around. And Lord, let her be super blessed as she walks in your best and she remains in your rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let God speak to you. If there's things that you need to adjust, now's the time to adjust them. God will show you things in prayer. He'll speak to you. That's when you need to make the adjustment. You need to receive it in your heart and just do what he tells you to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God is gracious. You know, he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want anything bad for you. He wants nothing but good for you. He wants you to do great things in this earth. He wants you to have joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. He wants you to experience freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Oh, the freedom of God. The freedom to live for God. It's not just about following a bunch of rules, but it's having a vibrant, living relationship with Him. Learn to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit. He brings you into all truth. He will not lead you astray. He will always line up with the Word. He will never depart from the Word. And if you're not sure, test the spirits. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your holy name. Let's give him praise in the house tonight. Let's praise the Lord for what he's done and for who he is and for what he's given us in the name of Jesus. Oh, he deserves our highest praise. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Master. We yield to you, Lord. We thank you for cleansing.